Здравствуйте, дорогие друзья. Мы говорим с каббалистом Михаилом.
Hello, dear friends. The news with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello. There's such a thing called doomsday clock. The time left until midnight symbolizes how close we are to a nuclear catastrophe. Midnight means the moment of nuclear catastrophe. In 1953, we were very close, 2 minutes to a nuclear catastrophe. It's when the U.S. and the USSR were developing their nuclear weapons, etc. The hand of the clock today show 90 seconds to midnight.
90 секунд осталось до полуночи.
90 seconds left to midnight. The clock readings are calculated annually by 15 Nobel laureates. Tell me, please. We know, we saw what it can lead to. We saw the results of these catastrophes. We were shown photos of it all the time. We were brainwashed about it in school, but we're not afraid of nothing. It's not frightening. Why? Because we live with it. We got used to it. We ourselves didn't experience it on ourselves. And what happened once, that happened in the past. It is natural for man to forget everything and to live according to what he has today. So you think that you need to be a resident of Nagasaki or something in order to... I think they're not afraid either. Today. Right. It's some kind of a device in us that says that nothing's going to happen or that tells us don't give a damn about nothing. Dr. Lightman, personally, I don't believe it. I don't believe in it. I don't believe that. Well, of course, there could be a nuclear war, but there's no fear of it. Just like you said now, and besides, possibly, it's a kind of habit. How long can you be afraid and talk about something? It's better to live without thinking about it. Just so. I think that this is how people live their life. And it's all accumulating. There's tremendous money invested in it. Why the race, Dr. Lightman? Because a person can't not think about his protection. Governments need to think about it. This is how they're built. And the one looks at the other and does the same. Host, so this is the guarantee that nothing will happen, for example, if there's this race. Is there some kind of guarantee? Dr. Lightman, what concerns me more is that there are new governments that are becoming engaged in it, like Iran, like Asian governments. Host, Pakistan, Dr. Layton. Yeah, they already have nuclear weapons too. And maybe even the means to throw them, to send them, to launch them. Of course, the arms race, it became like an amusement or something. And therefore, really, according to all of it, the world is very close to an outbreak of nuclear war, on the one hand. On the other hand, there are many people who understand that it's the end to this entire era. Even though that it was symbolized by an arms race, a nuclear arms race, but nonetheless it was peaceful. Host, what does the upper force, the creator, show it all to us, unravels it all, Dr. Lightman, or for us to think about ourselves, actually? Host, but we're thinking about ourselves all the time. Dr. Light, no, we're not. Were we to think about ourselves, we wouldn't behave that way. Then we would nonetheless... Well, imagine that you're living in some neighborhood, and there are two gangs that are fighting there, and everyone else is in their environment. What could they do then? Sure, they'd like to get rid of these two gangs, rival gangs. Host and live peacefully, Dr. Leighton. Peacefully somehow, but not under a state of constant threat and war that might break out any moment. Host, and why does the upper force, the creator, allow something like that, Dr. Leighton? It's in order for us to understand it. We're the ones leading ourselves to this situation by our ego. First, to understand that everything that we're doing bad. We're doing out of a sense of ego that completely does not take into consideration any other option but to suppress, to crush the other. And what will they have as a result? That's detached. Host, so the ego doesn't even resist his own demise, Dr. Leighton. No, because it'll continue existing in some form after that, too. Host, so we need to come to the understanding of the evil of the ego itself, Dr. Leighton. Yes. Host, and so it will unfold more and more until we understand it. So, stopping the arms race is understanding the evil of the ego, Dr. Leighton. Yeah, it's very possible that there will be a nuclear war. And after that, humanity, for some time, will come to its senses at least. And in this peaceful era, after the nuclear war, they could correctly aim themselves, orient themselves. We'll see how it unfolds. Bala Sulam, he did not exclude a second and even third world war, nuclear wars. He understood that this is the only way to get out of the ego. This is really...
Да, конечно. Спасибо.
Thank you.
По этому поводу есть у нас притча. Есть
такая... In relation to this, we have a Sufi parable. A frog got stuck in the mud, in a rut. No matter how hard it tried to get out, nothing worked. Friends help her, but to no avail. In the evening, the exhausted friends left their girlfriend to the will of fate. The next day, they returned, thinking that the frog was already dead. And they suddenly see her merrily jumping on the grass. How did you manage? They exclaimed. Very simple, replied the frog. A wagon appeared, and I had simply no other choice left but to get out of there as soon as possible. So it looks very similar to our world, that we need to get close to a disaster that might really crush us, and only then can we get out. So let's forget about what we talked about up until now, the previous item. And my question is, you're saying that there is the path of good, the path of suffering. We're following the path of suffering, meaning we need to be crushed and only then will we come to something good, Dr. Leitner. At the last step, host, why, Dr. Leitner? Otherwise, we won't want to get rid of the ego. Here, nonetheless, there needs to be some kind of ideological foundation, the resolution of the problem at its root. Why get rid of nuclear weapons? We need to get rid of our desire to suppress, to destroy, to rule over the other. The desire to receive, to crush, suppress the other. That's sheer ego. This is what we need to get rid of, meaning to reach love. From hate to love. This kind of turning point practically is impossible only through the recognition of evil. And the recognition of evil can only be out of free choice, that even if we're not afraid of war or annihilation, and it might happen tomorrow, and today we'll simply live our life, have a good time, have a ball. So we're like that frog, we're in a rut. There's a wagon coming our way. And we don't care. Dr. Lightman, yeah, and we look at others. Let them be startled first. Let them budge first, do something. But I hope that today's circumstances also resolve something. It's not just a wagon, it's like a tank that might crush us. So this fear, which is at the foundation of everything, that Dr. Lightman, yeah, will jump out of fear and out of a sense of that there's that we have no other choice. And we're not really afraid of death, but the time will come, the state of man will change to where he'll start understanding that he can't run and that death isn't a solution of the problem either. Host, how does fear, how does death lead to the recognition that the ego is to blame for everything? Where does the turning point happen, Dr. Lightman? The turning point happens in a person where he understands, starts understanding that even death doesn't save him from the ego, that even death doesn't bring him to the end of existence, that he will exist in a feeling of such inner suffering. It's not even a physical matter. The body as if doesn't exist anymore. But he will continue suffering. Host. And when he will when will man understand that the ego is to blame, Dr. Lightman, where he will be left with nothing besides the ego? Where the only thing that he'll be left with is the ego, where he'll see that death doesn't save him, doesn't pull him out of these terrible states of life. He'll continue. After death, life continues only in a different manner, and he will all the time suffer, like in hell. Host, and who will point out that to him that the ego is to blame for it all? Dr. Lightman, then he'll feel it. What forces him to act in such a negative way towards the world, towards himself, towards everything? And toward the ego itself, that host. So there will come this point that I wanted to crush everyone, but what I need to crush is myself. Dr. Lightman, yeah, that's the solution. No other one.
Все похоже, я тогда и перескочу. Ну вот тоже похоже, ладно. Пишет Владимир нам.
Vladimir writes, I analyzed different conflicts in different historical periods and came to an unexpected conclusion. The closer people feel each other, the greater the hatred that arises between them. Strangers can agree, but those that are close are ready to fight until complete destruction. They agree to nothing else. Question, why can hatred between foreign distant nations end in peace? Well, hatred between close nations must end at the death of one of them. Dr. Lightman, it's the same ego that can't stand nothing that exists next to it. It can be only either a very close person or no one. Host, so if there is someone that's near, this is what my ego can't stand. When they're further away, it's better. Dr. Lightman, sure? Host, but close people, you can somehow, close nations, neighbor nations, you can agree on something. Dr. Lightman, no, they're neighbors, and I can't stand them. If there is a dissonance between us, then the ego erupts between us tremendously. It's like there's a neighboring government or something. Yeah, like Volodya says the host, neighboring governments especially hate each other. So what conclusion can we draw? At what point can neighbors really become close? Dr. Lakeman, only through love. Only by love. Otherwise, to exist next to each other, these are not fully developed nations. With an undeveloped nations, with an undeveloped ego. Host, so the governments need to develop just that, just love. Yeah. What do you mean by love? Dr. Lakeman, love. It's when I feel myself physically connected to another, dependent on another, and he's dependent on me. Furthermore, so much so that I can't do without him and he can't do without me. And such a condition between us forces us to care for each other. Hosts, so my desire is for the other to have it good. Dr. Lightman, I think about the other because by that I ensure a good existence for myself. Hosts, so you're not destroying the egoistic foundation, Dr. Lightman. It's necessary. I can't escape it. It's like a couple. When they love each other, then it's egoistic love. And they understand that they'll be worse off without each other. And they care for one another, because in that, each cares about himself. Host, and when there's war, hate, when does it erupt? Dr. Lakeman, when these ties are ripped. When I no longer care about the other, then I start fighting. There can't be peace. Peace can be only when we're interdependent and we need to necessarily be together. Host, so your main advice is to build such ties that later on can't be cut. Dr. Lakeman, yeah, that's how it works in nature and space everywhere. So if we're talking about governments, then their main concern is to not exist without the other. I can't exist without the other. And what happened in the world? Dr. Lakeman, people became independent. They think that they can exist without the other, conquer the other. But really, it's not the same principle. But we're saying that our world today is completely interconnected. Why don't we see it? Dr. Lightman, we do. That's why the world nonetheless exists and is interdependent. But you see how this interdependence is used. There is embargo, there are different borders put up, etc., etc. Really? They're leading themselves to death. So the principle of that the other will have it good, this is what leads me. Dr. Lakeman, unfortunately, man does not understand this law, this common law, that one can have it good only if everyone will have it good. Otherwise, it's all the time boiling in a pot of hate. Host, and what will make us understand it, Dr. Lakeman? This is our ego that the Creator made that will see that in no way can we get along with one another, only on condition that we will accept His rule over us, the rule, the governance of love of the Creator. His governance is a governance of love. And that by this feeling will cover everything. So I need to cover the ego with love, Dr. Lightman. Yes. And this is something that needs to be done daily. Daily to remind, to talk about it, etc. Host, a person has this feeling all the time that, you know, the work needs to end sometime, Dr. Lightman. It doesn't. Every day you need to think about how you love the other and to hear the same from them. Host, for that, you really need not just mental forces, but Dr. Lightman, as you understand that it's inevitable, and then it doesn't seem that bad to you, that hard. Host, is there a moment where it becomes an easy path, Dr. Lightman? Yeah, it becomes a second nature.
Спасибо. То есть я хотел бы еще, если можно, предложением закройте, чтобы близкие существовали, вот чтобы близкие существовали в мире любви.
So in order for those that are neighbors or close, how can they exist together in peace, Dr. Lightman? They need to be in need of one another. Not in order to get rid of each other and be free, but that their life, their freedom, their existence depends on the other.
И вся вот эта вот природа,
and all this nature,
замкнутая,
locked,
она нас к
этому приведет. Eventually it will bring us to it. Host, what do you mean by closed nature, Dr. Lightman? Closed system of nature. Interconnectedness. Host, so it's not in vain that we're shown that we're interconnected now, that we need to come to feel care and concern for the other, Dr. Lightman. Yeah, some oil pipe was ruptured, something else was done. No, to your own detriment.
Oh,
so you believe that it comes right back at us like a boomerang, Dr. Lightman? Yeah. Because this is how the general system of all of creation works. So these are very interesting processes that are going on now, and I think that many people learn from it. Those that don't want to learn can't learn. There are such, but they're now dying out. And eventually what we'll get is possibly a new world. Host, thank you. Very good. Istina writes, Istina, meaning truth in Russian, I think it's her avatar, she writes, Kabbalah is a mystical trend in Judaism. In fact, it is a way to read and understand the Torah. It's based on the idea that the text of the Torah can be interpreted at four different levels, the highest of which is revealed through special mystical practices. So she asks, turns out that Kabbalah is mysticism and not the truth. Dr. Lightman, foolishness, nonsense. I don't hear a word of truth here. Host, so I looked it up in Wikipedia. It says even better. It says in Wikipedia, Kabbalah, in Hebrew meaning receiving, so there is a word of truth here, is a religious, mystical, esoteric trend in Talmudic Judaism that appeared in the 12th century and became widespread in the 16th century. Esoteric Kabbalah claims to reveal the secret knowledge and divine revelation encrypted in the text of the Torah. So Kabbalah isn't mysticism, as you say. Dr. Lightman, I don't know what they mean by mysticism, but it's not. Kabbalah is it is the bank of accumulation of the laws of nature that we must keep if we wish to live in an organic connection with nature. Host. So we're putting this aside. If you can reveal this a bit, what is nature? What is this accumulation of laws? Dr. Lightman, there's nature. Everything that exists, including people, including everyone and everything. Our world's galaxies, anything that we can imagine. It all represents one whole that exists with the help of interconnected forces. These interconnected forces are explained by Kabbalah that says that only by keeping the general law of nature of mutual interconnection and interdependence between all parts of nature can we feel, understand, and exist in this nature. If we will not achieve the desire to attain this nature, then it will gradually throw us out of it, vomit us, and we will need to accept its integral law one way or another as the existing, only existing law. Host, so you're talking about the rule that governs nature, all of us. What is it, Dr. Leitman? This rule, this law is called Creator, meaning that there exists a force that in it withholds all parts of the universe on all levels, still vegetative, animate, human beings, and others that we're not familiar with yet. We might call it mystical, but it doesn't matter. All of these levels exist. They're interconnected, interdependent. So we're inside of the Creator, inside of this law, Dr. Leitman. Of course, we're inside the Creator. And we must obey this entire law. From all the forms of life known to us, we are the only form of life that acknowledges itself and that, to some extent, acknowledges the our root, which is the Creator. And our mission in our existence is to come to a situation where we reveal this general source and we begin to exist in accordance with it, according to His laws. Host, so in the meantime, we do not coincide with the law in which we exist, Dr. Leitman. No, and we were created so on purpose, as it says, I have created the evil inclination. On purpose, in order to acknowledge that the Creator is opposite to us, and that our only task is, our only option, is to come to equivalence of form with Him. Host, which is what, Dr. Leitman, which is the quality of love, of connection, of all parts of creation, nature with one another. Host, so Kabbalah is a science that brings a person to be an equivalence of form with this law, Dr. Leitman, yes. Host, acknowledging the law and being in accordance with it. Dr. Leitman, yes. Host, so why are we told all the time that Kabbalah is mysticism, mysticism, Dr. Leitman? Because they don't understand what can be done. Host, and why is it all the time called a religiously, Dr. Leitman? They did not develop to such an extent yet where it will be possible to rise above that. Host. And when we're related to religion, what it calms humanity down, or what, Dr. Leitman, they want to somehow systemize what they're in. Host. So there's nothing to blame them for, Dr. Leitman. Of course not. Host. And this is something completely separate, Dr. Leitman. Kabbalah is the teaching of the general state of all that exists. So everything's included there, mysticism and religion, Dr. Leitman. Of course, everything. Host, thank you. Very good. An anecdote or a parable. A man prays to God every day to help him win the lottery. Finally, God couldn't stand it anymore, opened a window in the sky and shouted out, "Listen, I'm ready to help you, but at least buy a lottery ticket, will you?" Turns out that we want to be happy in life, but we're not buying some lottery ticket. We're not doing some, we're doing something wrong. We're putting our energy in the wrong thing. How do we buy a winning lottery ticket? Dr. Lightman, try, ask, try to come to mutual love toward one another. And we put in energy, buy other tickets, Dr. Lightman. We put it in wherever and whatever. The main thing is that we can't be in this nature of love and interdependence, but we can ask for it. Meaning, open a crack in the window and shout out that you want love for others. So that means that we buy that ticket. When we buy a ticket, we pay for it with something. What's the pay here, Dr. Lightman? That I'm willing to aspire toward love to everyone. And this is what's required of us, and that's the winning lottery ticket, Dr. Lightman, and only. Thank you. Very good. All the best.